Hi, this is Larry London. Welcome once again to Border Crossings, your program for music and information. Today we are joined by two members of a band. There are more members, but two of them were able to make it with us today, Chase and Rudy. And the band is called Two Lot. So let's find out, first of all, welcome Chase and Rudy. Who's Rudy?
What's up? I'm Rudy. How you doing, Larry?
That makes you Chase. All right.
Thanks for having us.
So tell me about Two Lot, because that, to me, there's a lot of interesting things going on with that group name.
Yeah, thank you very much. Well, we named it Two Lot. It's short for the second law of thermodynamics. It sounds pretty heady, but it's a really simple concept. Second law of thermodynamics is the law of entropy. And the whole story and why we wanted to name it Two Lot was that we were all going through entropy in our own lives when we connected 2.5, 3 years ago. And we had death in the family, divorce, a lot of horrible things that all of us were going through. And the power of music brought us together. We all loved music and we all played music, have different experiences. But it was kind of going through hell, honestly, what brought us together. And we thought that was a perfect name because we were going through that. And if we name our band that, and we also have a kind of a social change angle to the band, can we help others by getting that idea of overcoming entropy out there with the platform that we hope to grow over time?
Yeah, because we all have something to get over. And I think that when we look at ourselves and self-actualization, it can be a very communal thing. So hopefully the experience that we give on stage and through our music is something that speaks to our core vision, which is overcoming entropy.
Well, as soon as we finish this interview, I am going to copyright Entropy as a band name, because I think that would be a fantastic band name, too. And I don't think there's a band.
Well, that's the name of our album, though. So don't be too close to
home. I'd be too late to the party, I guess. Two Lot is with us. That's where they are right now. And you're watching Border Crossings on VOA TV. So, Chase and Rudy, what are you going to do for us first?
Go ahead. Well, we thought we'd do a song called Cage that was put together by the band a little while ago. And it's a very interesting blend between EDM and some really interesting rhythmic stuff with a little bit of soul and pop influenced. So we're going to do Cage for you.
All right. Here they are, Two Lot, and this is called Cage.
I won't let me out. time, took it for granted, I could never die. Here in this cage, here in this cage, and I'm slowly fading, I'm slowly fading. I pop these pills to help me sleep. See, I'm not here, it's not me, it's just this cage, here in this cage, and I'm slowly fading, slowly fading. I pop these pills to help me sleep. See, I'm not here, it's not me, it's just this cage, here in this cage.
That song is called Cage. It's Too Lot. They are here on Border Crossings, and I was informed the debut album is Entropy, and I guess that's transformation. You know, entropy is you know, time of change and whatnot. Thermodynamics, that's a little heavy for me. You know, I mean,
yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out, does ontogeny capitulate phylogeny? I haven't figured that out yet.
Well, I mean, it's entropy is, you know, it's that all things kind of erode and dissipate over time, whether it's a human being or whether it's an object, right? And so It's a pretty simple concept. It's like, how do you fight that, resist that all the time? And we're trying to do it with music. So it's that simple.
Mm-hmm. And Rudy, you had said that the song we just heard, Cage, was a little bit EDM, and you guys have created EJM.
Well, we wouldn't say we created it, but we hope to live in that space of electronic jam music. And the idea is simply, you know, fusing organic with digital and synthesizers and trying to find that space where we're blending things like Fish with Rufus the Soul and Lane 8, but also with our individual influences with, you know, me coming from a soul background. My father was Rudy Love Sr., who was a Rudy Love and Love family. He was in Sly and Family Stone for years, wrote for Ray Charles. So I definitely come from that background, but we have, you know, Chase, who is he's been to Fish shows and jam with some of the best in the jam band world. He introduced us to that side. We have, you know, a couple people that are really, Trusco, our bass player, our keyboardist Sage, are really heavy into jazz. They're brilliant players. Two played for Chance the Rapper and learned from his father, which was
who's our drummer.
Yeah, Two. Yeah, I'm so sorry. Wow. And so he's got a lot of gospel hip hop chops. And so we bring all of that to the table and we try to fuse it all together. We don't want to necessarily stay at just one genre. We believe that we're hopefully breaking down the barriers that genres have put up in music. So,
and I'm looking at the list of combination of genres that make up EJM: hip hop, soul, funk, jazz, rock, and electronic.
Yeah.
That's I'd add to what Rudy's saying. You could simplify it and say electronic jam music is just the blend of EDM and jam, but because of all of our backgrounds and music, as Rudy described, it's hard to kind of package it neatly into one. Because in our songs, if you listen to Cage versus Call for Me, they're very different types of songs because of that various the influences that each of us have, and that's what makes it fun and I think different.
And
Stay tuned for the next album. It'll be aggressive polka.
No. That's what we're staying
Aggressive
away from.
polka, grunge polka. We've got Toolot on the show today talking about their new album, Entropy, and their new music, the new sound. How did you guys come together as a band? How did you all meet?
Maybe I'll take that one. So we first kind of got together, as I described, like we went through quite a bit of tragedy, each of us individually. We had divorce and we had deaths in the family, and just a lot of things we were going through. So music pulled us together. But I think one of the first connections was with myself and Two, our drummer, because I knew Two's father. His name was Pastor Omar Jawar out of Dallas. And he was a leader on the equal rights movement in the United States, one of the key voices about bringing people together instead of dividing us. And so he worked with a philanthropic group that I co-lead with my father and a few other leaders, and on that equal rights topic. And he became such a close friend, and we basically started Stand Together Music together, totally separate conversation. But sadly, he got COVID and passed away. And his son, too, he passed away in our hometown in Wichita. Two lives in Dallas, and Pastor Omar lived in Dallas too. He got sick in Wichita and went into the hospital. So his family came in to Wichita, and that's when I met too, when his father was in the hospital. And he came down into this very room. I invited him over here, and he saw that I had a jam room and a great, drum set, and he gets on it and starts playing. And I was like, "You're one of the best drummers I've ever heard." And so we started jamming, and Rudy came over, and everyone wanted to come over here because they heard like the best drummer in town was over at Chase's place. And then so, Sage was here, Rudy's here, Rudy was here. We met Trusco a little bit later through the Dallas connections. But it was really that starting point and Two's father passing where we said, "Man, I know you live in Dallas and I live in Wichita, but let's overcome this through jamming together and playing music. Who knows where it's going to go, but let's go to some shows." And then we just decided that we were going to create a band out of that. But that was the initial seed of the idea.
Man,
Well,
personally,
Wichita is a great place. As I said before, my daughter was born at Via Christi. I mean, she's 25 now, but yeah, I mean, it's a beautiful city. But one of the things I know about Wichita, because I've lived in many places, Hong Kong, LA, Tampa, you name it, I've lived there. And one of the things I noticed about Wichita, everybody's very, very community minded, community oriented. You've got Stuff the Bus, you got this, you got that. There's all kinds of events. There's a big run that's for charity there. A lot of different events and causes going on in Wichita. So that social awareness obviously plays a part in the music you create. Because I read that you guys are very socially conscious in how you approach your music.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'd say there's when we kind of set out to, really create Toolot and make this project a reality, we said there's three things in our vision that we wanted to do differently. One, create a unique sound. We already talked about that. The second is tie our platform into social change because of Stand Together and the organization that I've been part of. We have vetted so many organizations that are doing great work on the ground. And one that Toolot really wanted to get behind was the Phoenix, which was an amazing program to overcome addiction. And Scott Strode founded it. We in Stand Together met him about 7 years ago. And his model was combine the power of exercise with the power of community and build gyms. And his relapse rates are below 10%. And so we're helping them scale that to all 50 states. It's mind-blowing what has happened there. So Toolot has partnered on that to say, boy, can we, with our music, our lyrics, our show experiences bring social change into the mix. So I would say that's kind of the third thing that's different. In our live performances, we want to have social change. We want to have calls to action around social change, but also have nice surprises in the show. Like we're never playing the same show twice. And I learned that from Phish. And the Dead and Phish and String Cheese Incident, all those bands, it's a different experience. So the fan comes and it's like, I don't know what I'm going to get this time. And so that's the other thing that we're trying to do.
Comes natural for me because I can't remember what the last show I played was like, so the next one's definitely gonna be different.
You
Rudy's
don't
playing a lot of
remember.
shows.
I love that. You don't
Yeah.
remember. Oh, you were drinking your way through the evening, I guess,
Yeah.
and you
Well,
forgot
yeah, I mean, well,
the
sometimes, I think the high of music, I've played in a lot of different places, gone from opening up from all different kinds of artists. So I'm always catering to the moment. I'm feeling what is happening and responding to the crowd. So it does become sort of a, because we're never going to be sitting here at this moment in time again, I hope to be, because we want to come back to your show, but it won't be the same the next time. So we try to not take that for granted and always make every moment that we're on a stage a sort of a spiritually gratifying moment for everyone who's there, including us, because it is a little bit selfish. We do have a lot of fun doing
Well, Larry,
it.
Rudy's incredibly humble. You should talk about the various bands and artists over here because he's dedicated his life to music, just like his father. You should talk about the different collaborations and openings you've had.
I've opened for, I mean, just I the Snoop Dogg, Teddy Swims, geez, Kansas. I mean, just so many different bands. Inglewood, Sir, Anderson .Paak, just but the thing that I think that is different about Two Live, as far as the show experience, is I've never felt quite so creatively challenged and free at the same time. So when we get to perform, it feels as though the band is sort of in this completely different space. And I think that we think very deeply about the, you're talking about special effects. We care deeply about the lights and the lay and when something happens. And I appreciate that. And also, I feel like this band could just as easily open up for any genre of music. We've done shows with Robert Randolph and
String Cheese Incident.
String Cheese Incident. And yeah, so that's speaking to my experience. I just say, for as much stuff as I've done, this is still new, which is exciting.
And we even one more example, Larry. Like at South by Southwest last year, it wasn't in the festival, but it was a separate party. It was part of Stand Together. We even jammed with a DJ, which I think is rare, right? DJ Logic, who's become friends of ours, and he's so phenomenal. And to have him mix and scratch in the middle of a jam session with a full band was a really special experience.
Wow. You guys have done a lot of different things, and you mentioned the lighting and the effects. Are you using a black light right now? Because your face is blue.
Mine?
Yes.
Yeah, sorry.
It's a setup from
You're not
the
in the Blue Man
performance.
group, so I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now it's set up as part of our performance. We have
Yeah.
these like light sticks on smaller shows and stuff. We
So
like to call them our lightsabers.
but it's not black light. I mean, you're not looking for
No.
blood or blood
No.
stains, evidence.
You won't catch any mustard stains that I've wiped off
Rudy's a
recently.
Star Wars fan, so we gotta have the
I love
lightsabers,
it. I love it. And you guys also you incorporate other effects, LED and
Yes.
pyro and probably other things, laser lights and whatnot.
Yeah, and I have to shout out our team. We look at it as though, you're familiar with Phish, so like what do they call him, CK5?
Chris Carota.
He is what they call their fifth member. So when they're playing, their light guy is jamming with him, and we took that as an influence and inspiration. And so our front of house, Zach Ulrich, and our technical director, Jules Jensen, who also does our playback, and our lighting director and our visual director, Mike Lurie and Vin, they're all jamming with us. They're all creating this thing with us. And so we like to have very programmed and thought out moments, but we also like to have these spontaneous moments where it's not just us on stage jamming together. It's every piece of it, like reacting to the moment. And so that's what really, I think, makes it like something I've never done before.
Right. I always prepare my ad libs, so I understand that. But
Yeah.
I did want to ask you guys, what do you do next for us?
Oh, so this one is Shot in the Dark. And speaking of this song and the song we're gonna do after it is a specific nod to our work with the Phoenix. This song is about second chances. It's about, I wrote it. It was about my own personal experience with, music and having a second chance to do it, or a third or fourth or fifth chance. But I have, family members who have struggled with addiction, and it's about seeing the value and the potential in someone and not giving up on that. So, Shot in the Dark. Yeah.
Shot in the dark, two lot here on Border Crossings. Border Crossings, and that's the video by Tulot for Shot in the Dark. They're with us today on the show. And, you know, you had touched on the Phoenix. Why don't you elaborate what the Phoenix is all about?
Yeah, I'll take that. So the Stand Together, which is a separate philanthropic organization that my family founded, and we've been working on social change for 50, 60 years. And we, one of the things that we do is we work on community problems, everything from mental health, addiction, violence, poverty. And what we try to do is find these amazing social change entrepreneurs that have been through the problem themselves and have found a better way to overcome it. Think about it like venture capital for social change entrepreneurs, right? So Stand Together found Scott Strode, who was the founder of the Phoenix. And his story was, you know, he for much of his life, he battled addiction, and he had a mentor that pulled him really out of the ditch through boxing and biking and exercise to overcome substance abuse. And he said, well, if it works for me, exercise, can this work for others? I'm going to start a gym, call it the Phoenix, the whole idea of rising from the ashes, and see if I can create this virtuous cycle of people coming here and transforming their lives and saving their lives to then go out and get the next friend that's struggling, the next friend. And it has turned into this amazing, it's a movement. It really is. When we met Scott 7 years ago, Stand Together, I'm saying we from a Stand Together perspective, he had several gyms in Colorado, I think two or three gyms. And Stand Together has gotten behind him, both with capital and capability on how to scale. And now we're touching people in all 50 states in 7 years. So to go from helping several hundred people to this year is going to tick 500,000 people. And next year, we're pretty confident that we'll hit 1 million and we'll double that again. And that's through a big part of that is partnering with the music industry, Live Nation, AEG, Oakview Group, iHeartMedia. All of them love that we call the movement 1 million strong that's powered by the Phoenix. And so we're just a band that's like, well, let's plug into that too. Let's make that our thing. Because everyone has a friend, a brother, sister, someone in their family that's battling that problem. So, and especially in the music industry, the crews that are on the road all the time. And so we feel like we can make the biggest difference by focusing, by having that as our thing for at least right now. That will change over time, but the Phoenix has been an incredible partner.
And me personally, I you know, just met Scott about a year and a half or 2 years ago. Before I had the chance and opportunity to meet him, he had already impacted my community. A buddy of mine came to a show that we were playing because he heard about us through the Phoenix, and he's a musician himself, one of the most talented guys I know, and his life had been turned around by it. So I'd seen the on-the-ground real impact of the movement, and that's what really made me feel like this was something that we should dedicate some time and effort to.
And you guys do quite a few different social topics through your music. And this is an interesting time for social topics these days. We're in a very, very bumpy ride, rough waters, whatever you want to say. So there's a lot going on in the world.
Indeed.
Certainly no shortage of material for you guys. Who writes the songs between Tulot? I mean, is you write them them together? How's the process?
Well, so majority of it is me, but I can't say that it is completely in a silo. I have help conceptual from the beginning of it to the end. The band is there to, you know, infuse and insert ideas that hopefully make it more personal to all of us and not just my own personal experience. I think of like Arrow of Time is a song that we did, which is actually a concept that Chase showed me. I think he said your pops was one of the first, and he said that line, and I was like, oh, that's a song, man. He said, I want to talk about this. And so we tackled that together. And I think that then I can't say that I'm completely responsible for writing it all, but I think that, you know, as far as our ownership model of each individual responsibilities. I am the songwriter guy in the group, you know. But yeah.
I think if I could add, Larry, I think one thing that's different about our approach, we really try to apply business principles into the band. And what I mean by that is, Rudy alluded to it, song ownership model. So instead of, five members in a band and everyone's got to agree on everything, if someone has an idea to create a song, they own that and they own all the little decisions that go into it. I get everyone's input. But like, so for example, two of the songs on the album, Sacrifice and Entropy, I own those. So I'm kind of lead producer, but I'm not the one doing all the thing, but I'm kind of overall decision maker. Rudy has several of them on the album too. Robert Trusco has that as well. And it helps us be more efficient, honestly. And like, it's not a consensus. We have a challenge process around trying to get to the, but we all want to get to the best answer, but we got to respect whoever had the idea and owns the song. They got to run with it. And so I think it's helped us like really advance this album, frankly.
And I've been in a lot of sessions, writing sessions, and been a part of groups and understood that, once you offer up an idea to the world, it's really, it doesn't belong to you in that same way. So when I come with an idea, I trust the group to take it and make it so much better than it could have been if it was just me sitting in a room by myself.
Now, as a group collectively, is there any subject that's taboo? Is there anything that you guys will avoid and stay away from?
Well, we haven't talked about that. I'm sure we'll find something at some
Our
point.
love life. We're never going to talk about
Not
it.
gonna
Don't
talk
ask
about your
about it.
love life.
My dad said, don't do
I don't know.
it.
There's some subtleties and Easter eggs in there in the
Don't
album,
do it. For
but
sure.
we're not really on the nose about
So,
it.
Rudy, I guess you're probably too young to have actually, had Ray Charles over for dinner, but you probably have run across, Sylvester, Sly Sylvester,
You talking about Uncle Seal?
there you go.
Yeah,
And
I had the opportunity to learn from him several times in my life. And actually just a couple of years ago, the Family Stone came to Wichita and I got to perform Pops's role in the group with them. And it was
wow.
a full circle moment. As we talked about the hardships that brought us together, my father passing away in 2021 was sort of that thing that brought me back to Wichita and made me stay. And so Family Stone, Jerry Martini and I mean, I've gotten to meet Greg Errico and Freddie Stewart. We're friends on Facebook. What's up, Freddie? Man, Uncle Seal, Sly Stone is one of my largest influences, one of my biggest. He's one of the most brilliant minds I think of our time, and obviously he's reclusive, and I think that sort of makes it all even more of a mystery. But he's got music that if he passed away right now, for 200 years they would still be releasing music that he's made, and it's all brilliant stuff. And I got to actually hear some of the things that I wonder if they'll ever actually be released. But yeah, he's a genius in my mind and a huge influence to me.
Well, that leads me to the next question is, and for both of you, what's the best advice you ever got and who gave it to you?
Oh my. That's a heavy question, Larry.
Yeah, it is.
I would say probably from my father. I've got a lot I could share, but I was struggling, and this is 2014, struggling to find my kind of own identity in business and in life to really like self-actualize and be happy and fulfilled in what I was doing. And I was in the wrong job, and I was comparing myself to him as CEO of this large company. And I was like, Pop, where were you at, age 35? And I don't feel like I'm where I need to be. And da, da, da. And he goes, son, stop trying to compare yourself to someone else. Only compare yourself to who you were yesterday. And that was like, it really helped me and just think about just constant development towards your North Star. And it helped me make really important career decisions that were who I am and what my gift is and what my passions are, not trying to be someone else. And I think, I don't know, I mean, I don't want to speak for you, Rudy, but when you finally have permission to be yourself, that is the most empowering, whether you're a musician, a business leader, social, like whatever the thing is, if everyone could have that permission and that power, like doesn't matter what anyone else thinks, just you be who you are and give yourself permission to lean into that.
Mm-hmm. I
I think
love
that's
that.
that was powerful for me at least.
Yeah, no, he stole mine, but I have another. No, that is, I mean, that's so true. I mean, we both come from, they have that saying, show me a son of a great man who is a great man. And we're lucky in this band to have great fathers. And so, I mean, I would say, some advice that my pops gave me, but I'll go to some advice that he gave me through his mother, my grandma, Grandma Wakey. We call her Mama Love, because my last name is Love. She always taught me that I was given that name for a reason, and I needed to carry it with respect and lead with it. So in everything that I do, when I do music, when I talk to people, it is about love. And what Dad used to say was this, his theme and his challenge in life, because it's not an easy thing to do, but if you can try to put that at the forefront, most times life will lead you the way that you're supposed to go. So,
I
yeah.
love that. I love that. Great, great advice for those people who are tuning in and checking Two Lot out here on Border Crossings. Rudy Love and Chase Koch.
That's correct.
Now that when I lived in Wichita, the Koch family, the Koch name, are you part of that legacy?
Yes, sir. What Coke is all about is really like empowering others and helping others. That's the role of business that we have with Coke, and then Stand Together. All those principles that I just talked about with Two Lot hold true and sit on top of all of those organizations. So, if we continue to empower people, think about mutually beneficial opportunities where everyone wins. Hopefully, Coke can continue to grow and create more jobs and add value to communities. But yeah, no. But I'm incredibly, just I think lucky that I get to work in both the Coke the business world and have a meaningful role there. The Stand Together on the social change, but also have this. What was a missing puzzle piece of my life, music, and actually get to really go for it with guys like Rudy and Trusco and Two and Sage. It starts with, do you like the people you're playing with? There's a lot of bands out there that don't. They don't get along. And like it started with a friendship and a connection over tragedy and loss and and trying to overcome entropy. And that's why I think what we have is so powerful. And then I think we've got a good chance to make a go of it, hopefully have some success on the music side, but then that leads to all the social change things that we're talking about too.
See, and if I hadn't lived in Wichita, I wouldn't know that KOCH is Coke in Wichita.
You'd say Koch or
I would.
something
I'm
else.
sure many people have
Oh
said that to you.
yeah.
Chase Koch. No,
I get
no,
called a lot, Larry. I get called a
no.
lot, you
What are you gonna do
know.
next for us, guys?
This last one is called for me. This is a song written a lot about family. I have a large family. Dad has 17 brothers, was one of 17 brothers and sisters. And I can't always be around them. And so I thought of a way to deliver a message that was like, it was likened to lean on me and ain't no mountain high enough. But what it turned into once this idea came to the band was sort of this idea that love transcends space and time, and that, my father and my grandmother, they're not here right now, but if I think about them, if I use that memory to push me forward to, a positive mindset, it can do miracles. And that just shows that love is not limited to the time that you're experiencing. It can last you for the rest of your life. It's stronger than that. So call for me is sort of like it's sort of like a direct message saying, hey, if you need something, I'm here. But it's also remember me and remember that I love you. And yeah, so that's
And we're gonna play this, Larry, but you should just take 10 seconds and talk about the video and the
Oh yeah.
family and friends that are part of that.
Yeah.
It's really blowing up. It's exciting.
Yeah, one of my dear friends, Cassie Jo Craig, who's a stunt woman who worked on the recent Star Wars show, The Acolyte, and has worked in lots of stuff. She teamed up with my cousin Micah, who is the lead and is the one of, I would say, the best actress I know. And they play sisters who one of them has passed away, and the other one is holding on to that memory, and sometimes like falling into addiction and sort of depression. And she uses a voicemail that reminds her of her sister that she lost. And
This is the music
yeah, the
video.
music video, sorry, it's on YouTube. Yeah, please go check it out, and hopefully it resonates and connects with you and makes you think about the people. We had sort of a little challenge that we wanted folks to, just reach out and talk about someone that has been that person for you. So we're sort of on this this campaign to make people call the people they love,
All
because it's
right. Well, I mean, I'm all excited now about the song.
We hope you like it, Larry.
So call for me. We're going to check out the performance from Tulot here on Border Crossings.
My basic thing in life, period, is love. Because that's my name. I feel like that's not only part of my gift, but part of my challenge in life.
There's a place. A distance between us. I feel it deep. But if you ever need anything, call for me.
Call for me.
Border Crossings, and they are Two Lot, and that's Call For Me. That is a new song, and you said the music video features your family members. You have 17 brothers and sisters?
Not me, my dad. So I,
oh,
I
your
have,
dad.
I have a
that would be a wild time at the holidays to have 17 plus their siblings and whatever.
Come on back to Wichita for Thanksgiving. We always have room.
All right. I won't get much food, but you got room.
Yeah. No.
17 people slicing up a turkey. Not going to be much.
Listen, I'm happy to say that everybody is a chef in my family and they all carry their weight. So there's always just a little bit more food. And if, you know, as long as you bring the ingredients, they'll cook it for you. And they're the best in the business when it comes to that. I got to shout out my family, man. We used to have a restaurant down in Wichita, Kansas. I don't know, what years did you live in Wichita?
96 to 98.
So you would have been here when Mama Love's Kitchen was a thing in Old Town. It was the first soul food restaurant in Kansas that also had half vegetarian menu. I'm a vegetarian.
Did you say Old Town?
Yep.
Wow, I haven't heard that name. That mentions forever.
Yeah. We're still there. Old Town's still there. But yeah, no. So that's a side note. Family, love families. Music and cooking is a thing. So
wow, that's fantastic. Cool. You know, and I'm sure the holidays are exciting for you guys. What are you doing for Christmas? What's been your plan for Christmas?
Oh, well, for me,
is this too far out for you to think about Christmas?
For me, I wouldn't say it's too far out, considering it is always closer than you think. I'm going to be panicking, buying about 100 gifts for my little cousins and cards from my aunties and uncles. And I'm going to be driving from here to Lawrence and Kansas City, Kansas, and back to see all of the family that I can see, knowing that I'm going to miss some of them. So, that's what I'm most excited about.
Oh, but after that, we're going to be back in town and we're going to do a New Year's show. New Year's show here in our hometown at the Wave.
Yeah.
And, the Wave. Do they still have the Orpheum Theater there? Is that still?
I just played there. Yeah.
And
for the Tallgrass Film Festival.
Yeah. The memories are just rushing back.
Yeah, man. It's a beautiful theater. They're actually going to be renovating it for the next year and a half. They're going to be restoring it to be like it once was.
Who autographed that guitar on the wall? Because, you know, you've caught my interest. That's too far away.
I talked about Stand Together Music. Matt Sorum from Guns N' Roses is a partner of ours.
Yeah.
He partnered with us on the Phoenix. He's told his story publicly about, you know, his battle with it. And he's 13, 14 years sober and an amazing friend. And I met him out in Palm Springs. I was like, I forgot my guitar, Matt. He's like, I have like 100 in my house.
Wow.
Why don't you take one of these? And this is the one that says "To Chase Set Me Free," written on this guitar when he was in Hawaii for Velvet Revolver.
Yeah,
so pretty cool story with it, right?
Yes, that's very cool. Wow, thanks for sharing that. Now, you guys, are you planning on a tour? You mentioned you're performing in Wichita. Are you doing any tours? Is that part of the plan?
Yeah, you can look for us in Dallas and Austin, as well as potentially Denver, Colorado, soon, within the next 6 months.
Boulder.
Boulder. I think we'll be performing possibly up in Idaho.
Santa Fe.
Taos, New Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
There's a shout out to the Mothership down there. Is a venue that we love. It's one of our favorite places to play. We're trying to get out a little bit more this year because we love playing and we don't get to do it as often as we want to. So,
well, now that the album's out, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So we've been playing kind of hodgepodge shows here and there opportunistically, but get the album out. And we've got, you know, a little bit of time to say, okay, now let's get out and really perform this and create some experiences with the last 2 years of music that we've created.
And if anybody's listening to this and can think of a place they would like us to come to, we'll definitely put it into consideration.
Well, so that would be an international invitation. Have you done much international touring?
I have done some, and I'm telling you,
not with Two Lot.
I am looking forward to going to as many places as they'll let me go. Wherever they'll let me get into, I'll go.
Have you been to Japan? That's a great place to tour.
No, if I could go to
No.
Japan, I would be there.
Larry, I saw in 2000, I went on
Oh.
Japan Fish Tour.
Yeah.
And
Oh, wow.
they played 8 shows in 9 days, and I went on the bullet train with the band to go from show to show. So I've done what's amazing about the fans in Japan, they are obsessive about music.
That's
And
all over the
well, yeah, I mean everywhere, but there's something like different and special about
They really listen. That's the difference,
oh
is they
yeah the
really intensely
respect
listen.
the respect for the music and the musician. I totally agree with
And it
that.
has to be very challenging because if English is not your first language, then listening to something in a second language is not an easy thing to do to
That's
process.
right.
But
And a lot of times they understand it more than we do, which is I think I played a Java Jazz Festival over in Jakarta, Indonesia, with a group called BTS. Not that BTS,
Not that
that was over
BTS, a
there.
different BTS.
No,
Uh-oh, do
different
they know there's another
BTS.
BTS?
Less well known. But no, this group, so we're riding over, and it's Stanley Clarke and George Duke are some of the headliners. And I'm telling you, they were treating them like they were Mick Jagger and McCartney, man. Like they, I mean, but deservingly so, because these are, legends. But the respect for that music over there is at such a level that, I was a nobody, but they were treating me like, they were rolling out the red carpet, man, and really listening to the music and just enjoying it. And I think that the same is abroad. What I found is that we're spoiled. We America is responsible for some of the greatest music. But because of that, here in America, it does sometimes feel harder to impress or to connect with the audience, because they're like, oh, we've seen this, or you're not I'm gonna shout out some of your listeners. I was watching your interviews, Neon Trees or Taylor Swift. You've had some great interviews, and sadly, we're not to that level. So it's harder to get ticket sales. But once we get into these spaces, and if we ever make it across, hopefully the message will be the same, is to connect with whoever's in the room. And yeah, we can't wait to go that way.
And before you guys leave, I want to give you an opportunity to tell the viewers where they can find information about you. You've got to be active on social media. So where do they go? How do they find out?
Tulot Live, I think on Instagram is the thing. It's 2LOT. You can find us if you just type in 2LOT on YouTube and on Spotify. And please reach out to me personally. I'm Rudy, and this is Chase, and we just want to build a community around people who love music, and we hope to not only play for people, but we hope to jam with you if you're a musician out there, because that's a part of our main goal, is to get out there and actually connect.
And what
So,
is the symbol in your band name? You've got a line through
yeah.
the
So
O, you've
the,
got
the
a.
yeah, Larry, the reason we did that, if Tulot is short for the second law of thermodynamics, as we described, which is entropy, but we're trying to overcome entropy in our lives, right? So that's the signal of the hash through it. We
Oh, okay.
put a hash through the L and the O, meaning, hey, we're gonna cut this thing down, right? Entropy is
Right.
not gonna happen. And so, yeah, that slash is kind of our Nike swoosh, if you will. We like that as our that's our kind of
I
our
love
logo.
it. I love it. That's great. We've got Rudy and Chase with us from Tulot. And before you guys go, a chance for you to send your message to the world, to our worldwide audience, which includes the troops. So if there's anything you want to
Wow,
say to
amazing.
everybody tuning in, go for it.
Go ahead, Rudy.
It is not impossible. Whatever that thing that makes you come alive and that you want to do, and whatever that goal is you're striving for, whatever that connection is you're trying to make with, someone you love, it is not out of the question. And keep going. Never give up on what you believe in and what your dreams are. As long as you ain't hurting nobody, you're gonna be all right with us.
Yeah. Well said. We'll leave it at that, Larry.
All right. Well, thank you guys. Thank you, Rudy and Chase. I really appreciate your time and you joining us today to talk about your music and the new album Entropy, which is now out. And so they are Tulot, and they join us here on Border Crossings. Thanks for watching. My name is Larry London, and this is VOA TV.